This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Today is Wednesday, July 18th, 2012. We've got a lot to do today. The biggest story, I didn't think it was a national story, but according to ESPN, at least it is, the New York Knicks decide not to match Jeremy Lin's three-year offer from the Houston Rockets. You probably know about the Jeremy Lin story. He was originally with Houston and cut. He was with Golden State and cut. He was with the Knicks and was almost cut. And then he got a chance to play due to injuries to two or three point guards for the Knicks and set the league on fire briefly, only for about 3 weeks, but he briefly set the league on fire. I thought he was the MVP of the NBA in February. Just torched teams left and right, was an excellent all-star caliber player, albeit for 3 weeks. But now, because Houston backloaded that contract, making the third year of his contract $14 million, it was like a three-year, $26 million contract, the Knicks deciding not to match, they go out and get Raymond Felton. They already had gotten Jason Kidd. But I think this is a huge mistake for the Knicks. Now, Houston, for their intentionally made the contract that way, so it would be hard for the Knicks to match, because in that third year, the Knicks will have huge luxury tax problems. You know, Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony both have $60 million left on their deals. Tyson Chandler has a deal. But, boy, I think the Knicks made a big mistake here. What's interesting to me is this national view now of these alleged basketball experts, underline alleged, who say Jeremy Lin at best is an average NBA player. Hard to believe if you saw what he did. The ability to see the court, the ability as a point guard that this kid has with no experience. I mean, he's got 30, 40 games in the NBA. I mean, it's just stunning what he did. But he sees the court better than even the top point guards. It's amazing to me. But in any event, he's gone. He goes to Houston. You know, the Houston, there's a lot of Asians in Houston. The whole Yao Ming thing was a big deal in Houston. It's far beyond Houston in terms of Jeremy Lin's international reach. And I already think, and I've written this and we've talked about it, that he is already a good to very good NBA point guard with a huge upside. The things he's going to have to do to improve on his game is not work on his left hand, despite what you hear. Jeremy Lin can go left as well as virtually every other right-handed NBA point guard. The thing he has to work on is taking a little pull-up jumper, mid-range game. He can't sustain taking the beating that he took last year. Eventually, his season ended, as you know, with a torn meniscus. He needed surgery, but he can't go in with the big boys and keep going all the way to the basket. He has to beat his man and then pull up for a 10, 12-foot jumper. That'll lengthen his career, whether he understands that or not. But this whole notion that he can't defend or he can't go left or he's an average player, I mean, you got to wonder what these guys were watching when they watched him play. You know, none of these point guards, I don't know if there's any good, great defensive point guards in the NBA. These guys are just too quick for each other. Who can Tony Parker guard? Who can Chris Paul guard? Who can John Wall guard? Who can Derrick Rose? Derrick Rose is okay. He can defend a little. But most of these guys can't guard each other. If they have the ball with their great quickness, they're going to get from point A to point B because you don't know which way they're going. Now, you can force them left if they're righty, or you can force them right if they're lefty. Brandon Jennings comes to mind as a good lefty point guard. But the notion that these guys are going to shut each other down, that's a joke. I mean, there are no Jason Kidds, and I mean the young Jason Kidd. There are no Jason Kidds in the NBA defensively now. The fact that Jeremy Lin was criticized because he only seemed to thrive in D'Antoni's system, or that he shoots the ball too much, what a joke that is. When Jeremy Lin started playing, shortly thereafter, both Carmelo and Amari Stoudemire couldn't play. But Jeremy Lin had to score. He had no choice. It was amazing to me that he could score. I thought the weakness in his game was his shooting. That is not true. At least it wasn't true last year. So again, here's a guy who was the MVP of the league. Look at the Knicks before Jeremy Lin. Look at the Knicks with Jeremy Lin. He was unbelievable. So maybe you have a lot of haters, maybe you have a lot of naysayers, but this guy already is a good to very good NBA point guard. And if you don't see that, I don't think you really know what you're looking at. And there's a lot of experts who don't see that, or alleged experts. So Jeremy Lin goes to Houston. The Knicks, who have Carmelo and Amare and Tyson Chandler up front, now are weak in the backcourt. Felton, they say, wasn't in shape. If you're going to talk about a system point guard, look at Raymond Felton playing in D'Antoni's system and Raymond Felton not playing in D'Antoni's system. Don't tell me about Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin's going to be a very good NBA point guard. He might be an all-star. Now, there are tons of good point guards, great point guards. But the notion that he can't play with these guys, I don't know. Sometimes I think there's an element of racism in all that because this guy can play. He's tough. Got a bit of a mean streak. He doesn't take anything from anybody. I remember writing an article on SportsTalkNetwork.com that the most important play for Jeremy Lin was one day when he was torching the Lakers early on. There was a play underneath the basket where everybody was going the other way except Kobe Bryant and Jeremy Lin. Kobe Bryant gave Jeremy Lin a shove, and Jeremy Lin shoved him back. And if you understand what that means in the overall scheme of basketball, you understand that Jeremy Lin is here to stay. So I think it's a huge mistake for the Knicks. I think it's going to hurt them. I think they need a point guard. Yes, Carmelo gets his shot whenever he wants. Stoudemire kind of on the way down. Jeremy Lin made Tyson Chandler a scorer at times. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. But he's gone now. It'll be Raymond Felton and Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd can't play the minutes anymore. He's still a good NBA point guard. Great intelligence. Great passer. Can't defend like he once could. But I think the Knicks are weak at point guard now. I did not think they were weak at point guard with Jeremy Lin. So he goes off to Houston. The Knicks refuse to match. They sign Felton over the weekend. And that's where that goes forward. But I think it was, to me, in New York, a litmus test for if you could understand what you were watching. And again, if Russell Westbrook can never see the floor like Jeremy Lin can see the floor, he'll be the best point guard in the NBA, period. You know how he was criticized, and correctly, in the NBA Finals. He's got more talent than anybody. But he just couldn't quite make the right pass at the right time. He didn't quite know how to run the show. He's got the best mid-range game in the NBA, period. You know, everyone talks about, oh, the old days, mid-range jumpers, 12 feet, 15 feet, 10 feet, 18 feet. Well, Russell Westbrook has the best mid-range game in the NBA. If Russell Westbrook can see the floor like Jeremy Lin does, he'll be a superstar. If Jeremy Lin can get a mid-range game like Russell Westbrook, he'll be an all-star, and he'll also stay on the court. Again, you can't take the beating that Jeremy Lin took without getting hurt. So he's going to have to change the way he plays, but I think the Knicks really took a step back. And there's a split on that, make no doubt. In New York, there's a split on that. A lot of people think Felton's a better point guard than Jeremy Lin. I think that's absurd. Here's a kid who was the MVP of the league for a month and has no experience in the NBA, or virtually no experience in the NBA. Never had a training camp with the Knicks. Never got to play a lot with Amari and Carmelo. The notion that he can't change his game and fit in is absurd. But he's gone to Houston. The Knicks, I think, are weaker for it. And for some reason, that's a huge national story. The other huge national story that people are getting tired of now in the NBA is what's going to happen with Dwight Howard. Talks, as you know, broke off with the Brooklyn Nets, and the Brooklyn Nets are going to need Dwight Howard to show up in Brooklyn. Nets will be good with Darren Williams and Joe Johnson, but if they bring in Dwight Howard, they can make a run at the Knicks. Nobody's quite sure how it's going to work in Brooklyn. Brooklyn's not Manhattan. That new arena is not Madison Square Garden, but it's not New Jersey either. But now, the Lakers are in the Dwight Howard sweepstakes. Apparently, Dwight Howard has made it known that he still wants it to be Brooklyn, not Los Angeles. Dwight Howard, you recall last year, said he wants to make it on his own, make it his own way. At least in theory at the time last year, he wanted to stay in Orlando. Of course, that blew up. I mean, just bizarre the way that Dwight Howard thinks. He got the coach fired. Stan Van Gundy's gone. But he doesn't have much around him. I don't think it's the coach's job. I think it's the GM's job. What does Dwight Howard really have around him in Orlando? They brought in a bunch of guys. Richardson, Carter. They brought in a lot of guys, but none of it has really worked down there in Orlando. So Dwight Howard looking for Brooklyn. Presumably Orlando wants Andrew Bynum as opposed to Brook Lopez. So he might wind up in Los Angeles, but that's not firm either. If the Lakers can't sign Dwight Howard to a long-term extension, the Lakers won't trade for him. They need the guarantee in advance. They'll give him that window to talk to him to try and negotiate something. But it doesn't look like he wants it. It looks like he wants to go to Brooklyn. So the Dwight Howard sweepstakes remains open. He's really ruined it down there in Orlando. Seems to be talking out of both sides of his mouth. I didn't want Stan Van Gundy fired, but the reports are pretty clear that he did want Stan Van Gundy fired, and Stan Van Gundy got fired. So we'll have to see how that shakes out going forward as well. But those are the two big stories in the NBA. They've actually stolen the headlines from baseball because baseball now starting the second half of the season. We'll get to all that in a minute, in a little bit as well. A few other miscellaneous notes in terms of football and other things. David Stern has come on board as saying from now on he wants 23-year-olds and under, or I should say under 23-year-old age limit to play in the Olympics. Kobe Bryant came out and caused a little controversy by saying that's a stupid idea. It's an interesting idea to me. You know, the Olympics, they sent the Dream Team in 92. It was like a joke. Was it the greatest team ever? Yeah, I don't know. Larry Bird was no longer Larry Bird. Magic Johnson was no longer Magic Johnson. But it probably was the greatest assemblage of basketball players on one team ever. I do agree with that. But now David Stern doesn't want the older superstars. I don't know. He doesn't want a 28-year-old LeBron James, for example. He doesn't want an old Kobe Bryant. That's probably why Kobe was upset at that whole thing. So David Stern wants to limit it to 23 years old. I don't know how they're going to do that. I don't know what David Stern's power is vis-a-vis the Olympic team. Maybe he was just making a suggestion or thinking out loud or doing something. But I think the U.S. should be able to send whoever they want. The big opening, if you will, was deciding whether to send amateurs, which they did for decades, versus pros, which, of course, they did with the Dream Team back in 92 and since. So once that door is open, doesn't really matter to me who plays. I kind of like the old, you know, college players. But now that doesn't matter. That ship has sailed. But this notion of an under 23-year-old age limit, I think, is ridiculous. But we'll see where that goes. So those are really all your NBA notes. A few football notes, interestingly now. RG3 signed a 4-year contract with the Redskins. He's the first of the top 7 picks to actually sign, which is interesting because the money is greatly limited now, and everybody's kind of sliding into their spot. But Andrew Luck has not signed, obviously the number 1 pick with Indianapolis. I've actually spent some time this week in Indianapolis, and there seems to be kind of a resignation in Indianapolis now compared to the we win all the time days of Peyton Manning, going through a disastrous season last year, of course, without Peyton Manning. But there isn't the buzz, if you will. You know, they're already talking about blacking out games in Indianapolis because they can't sell out the Lucas Oil Stadium. But Andrew Luck is unsigned. Number 3 through 8 is unsigned. But RG3, I think intelligently, becomes the first guy to sign, get into training camp, 4-year contract with the Washington Redskins, $21 million all guaranteed. So RG3 is signed. Andrew Luck is not signed. In fact, again, all of the top 8 picks except for RG3, they are all unsigned. A few other interesting free agents. Cedric Benson is a free agent, 29 years old now. Does not want to take a 1-year deal from Cincinnati. You know, gave a statement he's in the prime of his career, but as you know, once you hit 30 as a running back, you're almost too old to play, which is, again, sad but true. But Benson looking for a multi-year deal from somebody, he is a free agent. There are a few other interesting free agents. I just don't know where they're going to get jobs. Donovan McNabb has failed and failed terribly since leaving Philadelphia, has worn out his welcome in a number of places. He's a free agent. Plaxico Burress played well, I thought, for the Jets last year, 45 receptions. He doesn't have a team right now. It doesn't look like the Jets are interested. Jeremy Shockey, former Giant, former New Orleans Saint. He's looking for a team. Tight end, good player. People thought he was a problem in the locker room on the Giants. He had 37 receptions last year. He, too, looking for a team, Cedric Benson, Donovan McNabb, Plaxico Burress, Jeremy Shockey. I think all those players still can contribute something. I don't think Donovan McNabb is really a starter anymore. I don't know if he'll take a backup role. At this point, he might take anything he can get. I think Burress and Shockey, you might think they come with some baggage, but I think they can still help NFL teams. And I think Cedric Benson can be a good, not great, NFL running back. But those four guys are probably the four major names right now who are still free agents in the National Football League, all four still looking for a team. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to get to all the baseball in a minute. But first, a few other baseball games in a minute. First, a few other baseball notes. David Ortiz hurt his Achilles, MRI yesterday, negative. Just heard it running around the bases. You know there's a problem there. Not bad enough to be ruptured or hurt him for the season. He's having a great season for the Red Sox. Brett Gardner of the Yankees, who's just kind of disappeared with a mystery elbow injury, been out for months. You know, it doesn't look like he's going to get back anytime soon. Now, the Yankees, you know, they're 10 games up. They have the best record in baseball. They haven't really missed him. But they could use his speed in the lineup. They really aren't a fast team. But nobody knows when he's coming back. He's going to have another MRI. And Joey Votto, I mean, I think this is going to hurt Cincinnati. Leads the major leagues in on-base percentage, .465 on-base percentage, hitting .371 with runners in scoring position. Last year's MVP, who, of course, is a candidate this year, I think, with McCutchen of Pittsburgh. But Joey Votto is going to be out for another 4 to 6 weeks as well. That's going to hurt Cincinnati's chances of winning their division. I picked Cincinnati to win the division. Of course, I didn't think Joey Votto would miss 6 weeks, but we'll just have to see what happens there. One other thing before we get to all the baseball, I don't want to do a whole lot on Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky. I do have an article up now at sportstalknetwork.com, but I will say this. Nobody really believed that Paterno didn't know what was going on. And for better or worse, I think for better, the Free Report, former federal judge Louis Free, who did an in-depth investigation into this whole mess with Sandusky and the powers that be at Penn State, essentially concluded that everybody kind of knew and swept it under the rug to save the brand of Penn State football or save the face of Penn State football, and there are going to be huge ramifications coming out of that. There will be lawsuits against Penn State and probably all the officers there, including the estate of Paterno, the athletic director, the president, the head of campus police, all those guys. I think clearly from the emails, as you saw, you've probably read them in the last week or so, the emails seem to make it pretty clear that all these guys knew what was going on. And in fact, that some of the higher-ups wanted to report this case to authorities, and it appears that Joe Paterno talked them out of it. So that's very bad news for Joe Paterno and his legacy. His son is out front and center trying to save his father's legacy, but I think he's already lost that battle in the court of public opinion. Now there are actually conversations as to whether or not they should pull down the statue of Joe Paterno at Penn State. So very sad situation, obviously more for the victims than anybody, but clearly the 100% clean-cut, if you will, view of Joe Paterno and his program and his life has certainly been tarnished forever. And again, as I say at the end of the article, there's going to be more lawsuits coming down the pike, more bad publicity, a very sad state of affairs for all, but most of all, of course, for the victims, including multiple victims. If these guys had really done something in 1998, or had even really done something in 2001 or two when Mike McQuarrie saw Sandusky in the shower room raping a boy, let's be clear, a lot of other people would have been saved, and they weren't because these guys decided to sweep it all under the rug. Very sad state of affairs, most of all for the victims, but Penn State's going to pay dearly, financially and otherwise, and so is the legacy of Joe Paterno, and so will these three other guys, the president, the athletic director, Curley, the former head of police, Schultz. It's going to be bad times ahead for those guys as well. Let's switch now to the baseball. Obviously, baseball back in full swing. The National League will have home advantage in the playoffs as a result of the All-Star Game victory, as you know. Yesterday, Kevin Youkilis, in his return to Boston, of course, got a standing ovation as he deserved. You know, I thought Youkilis essentially got run out of town. I understand they have Middlebrooks and he can take his place, but Youkilis, I thought one of the hardest driving, hardest playing, excellent Major League Baseball player, and one of the key factors, certainly in the second championship and to some degree in the first championship, he was there for both. To me, those guys should be legendary figures in Boston. They broke the 86-year curse of the Bambino. You know that whole story. But Youkilis returns to Boston, got a standing ovation, which he richly deserved. Whether he got along with Bobby Valentine or not, looked like he didn't. They thought they could replace him with Middlebrooks. Middlebrooks then went on the DL, of course. Youkilis hits a home run yesterday as the White Sox beat the Red Sox in Fenway. White Sox 7, Red Sox 5. Youkilis with his 8th homer of the year. Hasn't been great, but has been much better for Chicago. Seems to be healthier now. Certainly has a lot to prove. I mean, to me, has nothing to prove, but certainly trying to show Boston, maybe Bobby Valentine, maybe management of the Red Sox, that he can still play and he still can play. Philip Humber, who threw a perfect game earlier this year, got gets the win, but his record is only 4-4. But the White Sox, obviously in the mix, they certainly have a chance to win the AL Central. A few other games: Yankees 6, Blue Jays 1. CC Sabathia off the DL, 6 innings pitched, no earned runs. He's now 10-3. I think the stat I saw is he's one of 5 major league pitchers in the history of the major leagues to win 10 or more games 12 years in a row, an amazing accomplishment of consistency and durability, and that's exactly what Sabathia is. He's consistent and durable, moves his record to 10-3, beating the Blue Jays, didn't give up any runs, any earned runs in 6 innings. Andrew Jones, with a home run, his 12th of the year, 3 RBIs. He's one of the guys, frankly, who replaced Brett Gardner in the outfield, and that's why the Yankees haven't really missed a beat, although, again, they could use Gardner's speed out there. Jones with his 12th homer, 3 RBIs. Robinson Cano now has a 20-game hitting streak. Not surprising, Cano, one of the best hitters in baseball. Also, Rafael Soriano, who took over, this is the power of the Yankees and their payroll. They signed Soriano as an eighth-inning guy. He actually wasn't good when he came here. He had been great for Tampa Bay as the closer. But now he had to step in when Rivera got hurt, and he got his 24th save out of 25 opportunities yesterday. Yankees 6, Blue Jays 1. A few other games. Angels hammer the Tigers in Detroit, 13-0. What can you say about this Mike Trout? He really is a legitimate candidate as a rookie for the MVP. Only Freddie Lynn did that. Ichiro did it as well. You know, Ichiro was a rookie, but not like a 19- or 20-year-old rookie like Mike Trout is. Trout with 4 hits yesterday, including his 13th home run. The Angels hammer the Tigers 13-0. Mark Trumbo hits a home run, his 26th of the year. Albert Pujols, who might be the third or fourth best offensive player on this team now, hits a home run, his 16th of the year. Richards moves to 3-0 with 7 shutout innings for the Angels. He's helped solidify their staff. Angels 13, Tigers nothing. Tampa Bay beats the Indians 4-2 in Tampa. Matt Moore gets the win. He's only 6-6, but Tampa can make a run if they get Longoria back. Carlos Pena with a home run, his 14th of the year. The Mariners beat the Royals 9-6. Justin Smoak and Michael Sanders each hit 2-run homers. The Twins beat the Orioles 6-4. The Rangers beat the A's in Oakland 6-1. Josh Reddick, and don't you think the Red Sox wish they still had Josh Reddick? Reddick hits his 21st home run for the A's. He's really the only offensive player in that lineup for Oakland, but he's clearly led them and made them respectable insofar as they are respectable. Over to the National League quickly. The Phillies beat the Dodgers 3-2 in Los Angeles. That's significant because Doc Halliday finally off the DL and pitching well. So the Phillies do have their lineup back. It remains to be seen if they can make a run. Ryan Howard's back. He hit a home run the other day. Chase Utley. So we'll have to see if the Phillies can get back in it. They're pretty far behind, though. The Nationals come back with 1-9 to tie, 2-10 to win, to beat the Mets 5-4. Bryce Harper with a game-tying triple in the bottom of the 10th for the Nationals. Moore hit a home run, his 5th of the year. Val Despine for the Mets hits his 5th of the year. Nationals 5, Mets 4, and this is kind of the pattern of the Mets, if you will. I think it's amazing that they even are where they are, but I thought they were a 500 team if things broke well for them, and things have broke well for them, but Dickey's pitching horribly now. He's still 12-1, but the last 3 of the last 4 starts, he's given up 5 or 6 earned, and the Mets have taken him off the hook every time. I still think he should have started the All-Star game, but he didn't. Nationals 5, Mets 4. Cincinnati shuts out Arizona 4-0. We talked about Johnny Cueto last week. You want to see a top-notch pitcher, watch him pitch. 6 innings pitched, no runs against Arizona. He's now 11-5 with a 2.28 ERA. Ludwig with his 14th homer of the year, Cincy 4, Arizona nothing. Milwaukee beat St. Louis in Milwaukee 3-2. Ricky Weeks hits his 9th homer of the year. Wolf moves to 3-6. Miami beats the hapless Chicago Cubs in Chicago. Miami 9, Chicago 5. Hanley Ramirez with his 14th, Infante with his 8th, Lee with his 6th home run of the year, all for Miami. Baker hits his 4th of the year for Chicago. The Giants shut out the Braves 9-0. Barry Zito, who has not been good, nor has Lincecum, as you know. Zito moves to 3-6 yesterday, great against the Braves. 7 innings pitched, no earned runs. Buster Posey, 3-for-5, including 2 doubles, 5 RBIs for the Giants. Giants 9, Braves nothing. Your sports on TV tonight, mainly baseball. I will say tomorrow the British Open starts, first round from England. If you're really into it, you can watch it 4:30 in the morning tomorrow, Thursday, on ESPN. But it's pretty much all baseball today. Regional coverage nationally, Philadelphia at the Dodgers or Pittsburgh at Colorado. That's all on the MLB Network at 3 o'clock. Tonight, the national ESPN game is the Mets at the Washington Nationals. You know, you can see Bryce Harper play, et cetera. Washington has a very good team. I think they're here to stay. I don't know what's going to happen with Strasburg and his 160 innings. But Mets at Washington, ESPN, 7 o'clock Eastern. And if you get WGN, that national station out of Chicago, Miami Marlins at the Chicago Cubs, WGN, 8 o'clock tonight. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.